Good evening, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night at 7 o'clock, WAUK 540 AM, 101 or 92.7 FM, The Devil Radio, The Shaw. And we are here on a really, really pleasant Monday night. The Packers won yesterday, so the state wasn't crying. But we're also, personally, I'm smiling still because we are, not quite a week beyond our election. And on November 8th, 2022, our Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez won by approximately 88,554 votes. It was 89,000 votes, and my 88,554 votes are the votes for Democrats in Waukesha County.
And
I thought that was very, very interesting. It's the first Democratic candidate for governor in Wisconsin since 1962 to win a midterm. And so, earlier in the year, I had Kristen Hansen, who is the president of Blue Sky Waukesha, and Lauren Yoder, who is the youth organizer for Blue Sky Waukesha, and they had told us about what they were going to do to help keep democracy strong in Wisconsin and in Waukesha. And they have been kind enough to join me tonight for an hour conversation of what exactly happened and what happened in Waukesha. So welcome, Kristen, and welcome, Lauren. How are you?
We're great, Mark.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
So tell me, what happened?
We won. No.
Yes, we did.
And by the way, Sarah Rodriguez is the first Democrat in a statewide position to hold from Waukesha County to hold that office since 1855, since a guy named Barstow, which is the street just a block away from us.
Isn't that amazing?
That is how long it's been. Yeah, so we're very excited about that.
Right, and we are really looking forward to having our Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on the show again, because she was on the mic several times. She worked so hard.
She's great.
And she's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very exciting to see what she does with that spot.
Yeah, I agree.
But let's sort of sum up what happened from your point of view.
I think it was a combination of the turnout game that we all talk about, right? So the Waukesha County Democratic Party, huge props to them, did a great job. That party is now, gosh, many dozen times bigger than it was, you know, even 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. 200 people showing up for regular meetings. And Matt Moreno is doing a fabulous job as their chair. So they did a lot of canvassing, a lot of turnout activity, a lot of distributing of yard signs. And then Blue Sky does mostly digital things. Mm-hmm. We sent out three postcards to 57,000 households, doing that kind of the side of it. So it was a combination of that. For Our Future was out here. People who run nonprofits across the state are finally starting to figure out that they need to spend some time in Waukesha County if we're going to win statewide.
For real.
Yeah, and I mean, so that's been getting better every year. And I think all of that came together, along with, of course, some disaffected Republicans who said, I can't do this again. Mm-hmm. I can't vote for Donald Trump light. I'm not going to do it. Then there were some very public, prominent people who decided to that they were going to vote for democracy with a small D. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that happened. And then, of course, we can't ignore the Roe v. Wade situation, which reverberated across the country.
So, yeah, let's sort of break those topics down. And let's start with the last comment you made on Roe and the whole Dobbs decision. And the abolition of the women's right to choose, control their reproductive rights, their right to an abortion, and taking us back to a law that predates, 1849?
It was 1849,
right? Right. It's the 1 year after we became a state.
Right.
And women were not allowed to vote. And the loser of this campaign was adamant about standing by that position. How did you see that in the streets?
I'll start, and then I'm interested for Lauren to tell what women felt about this. But I honestly think it was the Republicans were the dog that caught the proverbial car, right? Mm-hmm. They have been wanting to overturn Roe v. Wade for 50 years. And then when they did it, they were supposedly surprised that there was a giant backlash. The surprise is that they were surprised, in my opinion, right? So I think that women were underestimated enormously. If anyone thought that we were really just going to sit back and not do anything about this, they were wrong. And one of the postcards that Blue Sky sent said, your vote is private like your healthcare decision should be. And that's all it said. And that's all it needed to say. Because that we have to remember that privacy to make your own healthcare choices with your doctor was what the real root of this was. Women of all stripes, this was certainly not, there was no age issue, there was no party issue. Women all over said, no, I'm not going to accept this.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yes.
Yes. From the voice of the future. So, Lauren.
Yes.
What were young women saying?
I have never seen so many apolitical people suddenly become so political. And I think it's because, for the most part, when you're young, you don't really see how politics is affecting your life. And then when it's put so obviously in front of you like this was, you know, I'm college age, so all of my friends are around the same age as well, and they all of a sudden this was a right they'd had their entire lives. This had never been a question whether or not they'd be able to access an abortion, and suddenly it's just gone. And they have to have the conversations with their friends of what happens if one of us needs this. And that's not a conversation that anyone ever expected to have. You know, even my mom was born just 2 years before Roe was decided, and so even her entire life. And so, like, these are generations of women who grew up not expecting this to ever become an issue. So it definitely was it was such a driving factor. All of these people that I didn't think ever voted, I know a lot of them didn't ever vote before, all of a sudden were posting pictures and saying that they had voted and pushing their friends to do the same because it was so important. And while, you know, people can't get abortions right now in Wisconsin, there's a difference between that and then criminalizing it as well. And so that added a whole other element of fear. And I think that really drove a lot more people than anyone expected to the polls.
So with young women and these discussions, where did they take place? Were they on?
Everywhere.
TikTok, where?
TikTok is a very big platform, and a lot of women are able to kind of share their individual stories that way, and people can rally behind them like that. They happen on every form of social media. They happen between friends, between family members, in classrooms. I mean, we had discussions about this in some of my classes last year before Roe was overturned, just kind of all of us making sure that we had resources that we needed that we could get out to other people. Like, this is a conversation that you just have to have with your friends right now. This isn't something that we can just kind of keep to ourselves and wonder what if this happens, because if this happens, it's not as easy anymore as just being able to drive to a clinic. You have to cross state lines and risk, what if we elected a Tim Michaels and it became criminalized and you could no longer cross state lines? What happens then? Everyone that I know had these conversations with their friends, with their family. My sister and I had this conversation. Like, this is just kind of the reality that we have now, and it's terrifying, but it's necessary.
So how did that, in terms of the partisan divide, it sounds like this is a discussion that was young women, not necessarily just women that were leaning blue or left, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is that?
No, 100%. It was all women because, I mean, you'll see along, I mean, most Americans are pro-choice. Like, we'll put that out there to begin with. Most Americans are pro-choice. I think in the past, it hasn't necessarily been the deciding factor for votes because it's been established as the law of the land. However, this year it wasn't anymore. And so a lot of people were turning out regardless of party because one of the things that Michaels campaigned on in a very large way was criminalizing abortion. And then there were talks and then backtracks on things like birth control and Plan B too. And so this fear was very, very real.
I mean, and it's still a real fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we do have Josh Call who's mm-hmm. was reelected.
Thank God.
We know that he's not going to go prosecute doctors. He's, right. Mm-hmm. He's certainly not going to go out and prosecute young women.
Right.
But we still have an assembly and a state senate.
Well,
that is, they're going to have to come up with a plan.
Right.
This will be very interesting. One of the things that Sarah Rodriguez, when she was campaigning, she is a public health nurse by profession. And one of the things she talked about is when they were discussing abortion, she would try to ask clinical scientific questions, mm-hmm. and they would just gavel her out. We will now have a lieutenant governor who is a public health nurse. And sadly, there are so many men in the legislature who do not know how women's bodies work. So she will be there. And I hope that she speaks up and says, we've got to do something about mm-hmm. birth control that's used for reasons other than to stop a pregnancy and other reasons why you might need to make reproductive health choices mm-hmm. to save your life.
Folks, I'm here with Kristen Hansen and Lauren Yoder of Blue Sky Waukesha. We are summing up on this beginning to be a really fall kind of night. Right? I heard that it's going to be maybe snow tomorrow, but it is a happy day. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back on the other side to continue this conversation and talk more about our new lieutenant governor, about what her potential is in terms of really addressing and mobilizing not only women, but hopefully men and young men. We'll be right back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 or 92.7 FM. Devil Radio, The Shaw, live tonight from downtown Waukesha. So we were, before the break, talking about the election. And I'm here with Kristen Hansen and Lauren Yoder of Blue Sky Waukesha. So, Kristen, what's the data?
Here's the data. This is just a little bit.
Let's talk about the data.
So let's start with the star of the night. The city of Brookfield. This is just astounding. When Tony was elected, Tony Evers, in 2018... 35.5% of the vote out of Brookfield went to him. Last week, 45.8% of the vote went to Tony Evers. That is that's a remarkable increase in 4 years. That's amazing. In the city of Waukesha, we went from 41.6% in 2018 to 47.7%. We are getting very, very close to a 50-50 split in the city of Waukesha, Democrats and Republican voters.
So it's becoming pretty purple.
It's becoming very purple. And
it's
then
it's no longer just red country.
No, it isn't. And in the county over the entire county together, 39.5% of the people voted for Tony Evers. Does that mean that many people are Democrats? I don't know, but they voted for Democratic candidates. And I think it was all summed up really interestingly. And a Republican strategist said, all of the rural areas added together cannot offset a bad night for Republicans in Waukesha County. That is where we're getting. Mm-hmm. So something needs to change for them. But we are still on a trajectory that
why do we say
people are becoming more willing to vote?
Something needs to change for them. How about if we just keep
I'm trying to be, you know, middle of the road, but it is true. I mean, I think the Republican Party in general is aging out.
Yes.
Their ideas are old. Their voters are older. Or maybe that's the opposite. Maybe their ideas are even older than their voters. But either way, time is passing here. And, you know, I was talking to Lauren earlier tonight. Republicans are not going to be able to regain a youth vote when they are so bad on the issues that young people are literally worried sick about. We have terrible mental health problems with young people who are worried about climate change and gun violence in their schools. Those are two issues that Republican Party is on the wrong side of. Not to mention the things that they are straight up attacking.
Right.
Abortion rights, LGBTQ rights, civil rights. You know, Black Lives Matter protests are now considered political. Mm-hmm. All of those things are the opposite of what young people want. So don't be surprised when they're not going to vote for you.
Right. And then on top of all of that, then you have young people consistently being told to just kind of sit back and wait your turn. But my generation, we're becoming adults now. You can see it in how many young people just voted. We're 18 plus. We're able to vote. We're able to have jobs. We're able to take office. I mean, look in Florida. We have our first Gen Z congressman now. But despite the fact that these things are directly impacting us in our futures, we still keep hearing this kind of like, just wait your turn. It's okay. You'll get there. Or you'll understand more when you're older. And we're like, we understand now because these issues are impacting us now. When you were our age, issues were impacting you differently because you didn't have your current, you know, your generation destroying things for you. But we do.
But so, you know, it was when I was young. but this is a very important point, right? When I was young, we talked about the Vietnam War, but we didn't talk about a climate and a planet that we can't imagine.
Right.
Global issue, literally.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we didn't talk about coastlines disappearing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that, frankly, my generation has underestimated. Frankly, right up front, in terms of how do young people view those older adults and how they handle the situation. So what are people saying out there? What are young people, what are the campuses saying?
What an excellent question. I think there's an odd combined feeling of both feeling very hopeless, but then very hopeful at the same time. Like every time we have another election, we see young people turn out and they vote in droves that we never expected, that are completely unprecedented. And that's amazing. And we're seeing, you know, in 2018, a more diverse Congress. We see, you know, President Biden in 2020, and now we see Evers again in 2022. And that's fantastic. But at the same time, there's all of these conversations about, like, things are not getting fixed fast enough. Young people are pleased, obviously, that progress is being made. You know, we had a climate bill passed this year, things like student loan forgiveness, like, that's all fantastic. But then we also see things going backwards. I mean, look at the attacks that have been made. We already talked about on women's rights and our reproductive rights. But then the talking point this year, one of the big ones, was anti-trans rhetoric. And that was just huge and destructive and anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, and just all of these attacks on us as people and on our friends and our communities and things like that. And like, that makes people angry, and it makes you feel kind of, you know, bad about the world that you're living in. And why should you feel good about things when that's how people who are in power are talking about you and talking down to you? But I don't know exactly how to describe it. I would say just kind of that interesting balance. And I think every election year you see a bit more of the hope, and then kind of dies off. And then as we get another candidate to rally behind, the hope kind of comes back. And we definitely saw that this year, which was wonderful. So
do you see young adults getting organized, So it's not just an election event.
Yes.
So you have like 10 seconds and then we'll take a break and then we'll continue the conversation.
Yes, I'll quickly say, yes, I do. I think it needs to be a more sustainable thing, but I think a lot of the movements that have been built have been by young people and will continue to hold on to the momentum.
Folks, I am here with Lauren Yoder, the youth. Is that the youth organizer for Blue Sky? What's your official title?
I'm the director of voter engagement. Includes
and,
the youths.
And such an excellent director. I'm also here with Kristen Hansen, folks. We will be back on the other side. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101. Or 92.7 FM. We are here every Monday night on Devil Radio, The Shaw. And we are here talking about democracy in the state. And tonight in particular, we are here with Kristen Hansen, who's the president of Blue Sky Waukesha, and Lauren Yoder, in charge of campaigns.
Sure. Yeah.
And we've sort of been debriefing the November 8th election and how Waukesha has impacted those outcomes and how Waukesha County and some parts of Waukesha County are very, very purple and no longer just red. If they were ever just red, I think they've all been purple, mm-hmm. but a red, more red purple, and now it's more of a blue purple or right.
Yeah.
So, one thing that we haven't touched on is sort of the demographics in Waukesha and outside. You know, I live in Milwaukee County. I live in the city of Milwaukee. I have the honor and privilege of doing Waukesha Radio. And I'm delighted to do it because I've really learned a lot about what's happening outside of the city. So what are the demographics and how is that changing and how is that impacting elections?
I know that in the city of Waukesha, according to the last census, we now have over a 12% Latino population. So that is certainly the largest it's probably ever been. That makes a big difference. Anecdotally, we all know that the county is becoming more diverse. The cities of Waukesha and Brookfield especially are becoming more diverse. We have a thriving mosque in Brookfield. And of course, you know, there is an issue in the census because the people from the Middle East, Arab American is not a choice. But there is a very large Arab American population now in Brookfield, very large Southeast Asian population in Brookfield and moving into Waukesha. So,
and they're not monolithic. I mean,
they're
these
not
are diverse,
monolithic.
Diverse
these
communities.
Are simply diversity issues, right?
That's right.
So maybe that has something to do with it. We will, you know. But I think it is changing the face of at least the western part of the county, and folks are starting to realize this is not a, you know, 100% white conservative county, if it ever was, like you say, but it certainly has been, the visibility is changing. You can look around and see that things are changing, and it's becoming a more modern, diverse population than it was.
So how does that, do you think that's actually impacting people's fears or concerns when you talk about visibility?
I mean, I don't
talking about, in this sense, visibility about signs, partisan signs?
Oh, right.
Right?
I think what's part of that impact is that if folks are moving here from an area that was bluer, they aren't leaving their politics at home behind, right? So we've got a lot more people who are willing to put out yard signs. Now, let me tell you, even 15 years ago when I moved here, people were too afraid to put out a yard sign if they were a Democrat because they really were literally afraid for their safety. That has gotten to much better to the point where you'll drive anywhere around here now during the election season and you'll see almost just as many signs for a Democratic politician as you will a Republican. So that kind
healthy.
Of visibility
like
matters.
Absolutely. Democracy.
Right. Because, you know, folks are moving here. Like I said, they're bringing their politics maybe with them. The young people are growing up and staying here because it's a nice place to live and work and raise your family. And they're not changing. They're not becoming conservatives. They're staying liberals. So it's kind of a natural progression that's happening, and I don't think anything's going to stop it. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing that we're living in. We're watching history happen right now as this county changes.
So, Lauren.
Yes.
As the voice of youth mm-hmm. at this table and the voice of young women in particular, how do you see this playing out, right? You've spent your life here.
I have.
Okay, so how do you see that?
You know, it's interesting because for me personally, for a while, I was like, as soon as I graduate high school, I'm leaving. Like, I don't want to come back to Waukesha. It's just a lot. And I didn't like feeling like my views were very much in the minority, and it seemed like they were. I went to Waukesha West High School, and they were in the minority there. But like since I left and I went to school and I've come back now, I feel like it's really important to stay here and to kind of increase this visibility and to play my part in that. And I found there are just so many people that are on the same page. I get to talk to people who are like, oh, you're from Waukesha. Like, that's really red. And I'm like,
yeah,
honestly, like, I'm from the city of Waukesha. For Evers, we went 47.7. Like, that is significant. And
yeah, for those of you that are not really mathematicians, that's almost 50-50.
<Yeah. laughs> So we're very purple now. And I think, I mean, that's obvious. And like Kristen was saying, we're seeing so many people staying here and having families here, or, you know, who might work in Milwaukee and live here, you know, things like that. And so young people are really putting down roots here or keeping their roots here and staying here because there's a growing number of people who believe the same things as them. And I think that's wonderful. I mean, we should want, you know, little D democracy over here. So that's something we should strive for, is having this kind of split and having these conversations and being able to live somewhere where you can talk to your neighbor and like have actual conversations with them instead of, you know, assuming everyone around you is the exact opposite and wants mm-hmm. nothing to do with you.
No, I think that's really important for healthy discussions mm-hmm. to really bang the ideas around in terms of where we're going.
Right.
And, you know, I think this, you know, the motto, state motto is forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is, we sit, you know, we have two great lakes. If we protect them, mm-hmm. right, we're surrounded by so much fresh water, and the rest of the planet is going to be really concerned about water
mm-hmm.
and pretty quickly. So if we can have a healthy discussion, a healthy little D democracy,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason why Wisconsin can't be a go-to place to live.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, and right. The other things, right? We got Minnesota, we got Michigan, we got Illinois, right? If we would just legalize marijuana, you know,
uh-huh.
Everybody wouldn't have to go to a neighboring state.
Yeah. And plus, look how much money we would have if we were spending it all in Illinois. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, right? Why are we leaving all our cash in every state but our own? So, where do you see the issue of fair maps playing out in this discussion? Was that part of the election?
I think, well, the Fair Maps Coalition, props to them,
mm-hmm.
Does a really great job reminding people that this is not normal, this gerrymander that we have, and that we can never stop fighting for fair maps until we get them, and until something is codified that will keep them fair. I do think that there are more and more people who did not realize, maybe they weren't very political, they didn't realize what a gerrymander was or how bad it was, are starting to ask me, why can't we have a vote on, you know, why are there so many people, the majority of people in Wisconsin want Fair Maps, legal weed, safe and legal abortion, mm-hmm. you know, all these different things. Why can't we have that? Because the Republican legislature is completely locked in place. They do not have to care what you think. Mm-mm. That's where we're at. They don't need to care what their constituents think. Definitely don't need to care what the constituents who didn't vote for them think. And so they are completely out of whack with most of the people in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even talking about Republican, Democrat. We're talking about things that you can go to the Marquette University Law Poll and look at any number of issues where it is not a question. The people of Wisconsin want X.
Sure.
I mean, and we're not going to get it because of the gerrymandering.
Right. How many referendums were there on legalization of marijuana?
Oh, yeah.
76% yeah.
And
in favor.
And Fair Maps and taking the Medicare expansion mm-hmm. and so many other things. And so that we need to keep talking about that, and yeah. we will.
So, Lauren.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah.
What are young people thinking about this issue of Fair Maps?
Yeah,
I think the gerrymander means.
Yeah, so a big one I think this year that came out that people were just kind of like mind blown about was the fact that we were risking a veto-proof majority in the Wisconsin legislature. Like when I mentioned that to people, they were like, "That's not possible. No, the governor can veto." And I said, "No, he can't, because if they've gerrymandered things so badly that we so easily could lose. Like it might not matter." If he's elected, like he would not be able to hold that veto pen to be Wisconsin's goalkeeper, all of, you know, the things that people have said. And that was really, really frustrating because people already feel, a lot of people in my generation very much feel like, why should I vote? It doesn't matter. And then this year to find out, hey, it might not actually, you know, it might not have actually mattered. Wasn't the greatest message, I will say.
right. I was going to say, that is a tough one, right?
It's a tough sell for people as soon as you tell them that.
They say why?
Right. And, you know, there's all of these things where they're like, everyone that I talk to supports abortion. Everyone that I talk to supports legalizing marijuana, at least medically. Everyone that I talk to supports increased funding for public education. Like, all of these things. And you just have to keep coming back to, why is that? It's because your legislature does not represent you. I mean, Wisconsin mm-hmm. is the most gerrymandered state in the country. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that. Like, the fact that there is no chance, anytime that we go and vote, there's no chance that we're going to have a legislature that reflects the state is ridiculous. That should not be an issue. And that's something that a lot of people, you know, that I talk to about this are very frustrated with, no matter the party that they're in, because they want these things yeah. too.
We had one assembly seat that represented all of the Democrats in Waukesha County, and that was Sarah Rodriguez's old mm-hmm. seat. And what did they do? They gerrymandered it away from yep. us.
They cracked
one,
it up.
They wouldn't let us have one seat. Right. So no one in that legislature speaks for the
majority
40% of people in Waukesha County.
Well, mm-hmm. and also nobody, probably Waukesha County would vote in favor of abortion rights.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And legal weed.
And, right?
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Straight up. And
yeah.
so, I mean, we have, and it's mainly, frankly, right, white men.
Mm. Yep.
I'm sorry, I'm a white guy.
I know.
But it is. It's not a healthy thing going
no.
forward.
No.
If the voice of, you know, two centuries ago is dominating the modern discussion, and it's just older white men.
And they seem to be getting their marching orders from other than the mm-hmm. people. I don't know who they're answering to, but it sure isn't us.
Well, mm-hmm. I would say there are some very big corporate players
yep.
that do not like paying taxes, and that would prefer that we all fight and argue with each other than,
oh, yes.
you know. I mean, this is what people forget. In the days of Eisenhower, post-World War II, Eisenhower, right? General Eisenhower, mm-hmm. big-time conservative, big-time Republican. He was in favor of taxing the wealthy at 90%.
There you go.
Yeah.
And everybody thought that was fine. Everybody that was very rich had all the money in the world. But we had a very healthy middle class. I mean, coming out of the 50s and the 60s, mm-hmm. we had a middle class that actually grew up and functioned. And I do believe that that's sort of that's the background that dominates, especially, you know, when you talk about gerrymandering, the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we'll talk about the money a little bit on the other side. Folks, I am here with Kristen Hansen and Lauren Yoder, Blue Sky Waukesha. We are talking about the relief we all had on November 8th, or those of us that look forward to a world that with a healthy climate and a diverse, healthy group of folks. We'll be back on the other side of the break. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. Attorney Mark Thompson, this is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 or 92.7 FM. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8. Tonight, I am here with Kristen Hansen and Lauren Yoder of Blue Sky Waukesha. We've been talking about how our little D democracy was saved by voters and a lot of women and a lot of young people, folks, on last Tuesday. We've been talking about the maps and how gerrymandered they are. And folks, just think about this. Tony Evers won by 89,000 votes. That was tripled his 2018 margin of victory. And yet, we send six Republican to Congress, mm-hmm. and only two. It's just not fair when you have that many people vote for the future to send six people that believe in, 1849 laws.
Mm-hmm. One of whom was at the insurrection.
Yes, uh-huh. One of them was at the insurrection.
And the other one aided and abetted it. So, yeah, that's nice.
No, I mean, mm-hmm. it's really a shame. And so we have, the thing about democracy, little d, is that it always goes forward and there's always another election.
Yep.
And we have an election this spring, April 4th, 2023. How do you see what's happening in that election? And what are the races that you think we should be thinking about?
Well, obviously, the marquee race will be the Supreme Court race.
Absolutely.
I think that's going to be an incredibly expensive race. We're certainly going to have one primary, a primary on one side, maybe more. So there'll be a very robust primary. Mm-hmm. That will be very difficult. It's very hard to get people to vote in a February primary. So that'll be a challenge for all of us who do voter advocacy. So the primary will be very important, and then, of course, Supreme Court. But the other thing I'll be looking at is the last year, the school board races were horrific. Yeah. The behavior of some of the people on our school boards in Waukesha County, mm-hmm. is, frankly, just vile. So I will be very interested to see if that happens again, or if we can find some civility regardless of what happens in the actual, mm-hmm. races. And I also hope that some of the people who feel perhaps inspired and hopeful after this fall's elections will decide to run for their village boards, their town boards, their common councils. Do a little research into the area you live in and find out if, maybe you're a better choice than the person who sits there now, and maybe you really could win. Maybe you need to give it a shot. If you do, there's a lot of help out there for you, and contact us at Blue Sky, we'll point, mm-hmm. you in the right direction.
So, Lauren,
yeah,
you've been out there.
Yes.
Do you see a movement towards young people getting involved in these local elections coming up in April?
I do. I think with more social media use, and I think people talking a lot more about politics on social media, a lot more open, people are really starting to see just how deep the impacts of, you know, of politics are. Like, everything is political, you know, and a lot of the most important races and the ones that you can influence the most, if you want to talk about your vote counting, is at the local level in these spring elections. And that seems to be something that's really important for a lot of young people, is how does my vote matter? Does it matter? And so at the very least, from a voting perspective, I see a lot of people, a lot of younger people getting involved in the spring elections, and even volunteering. Like I was saying before, there have been a lot of movements built up and a lot of momentum behind issues that young people advocate for. And I think that is being carried on now more sustainably, I think, than it has been in the past, because we're seeing that you really can't take your foot off the gas even for a couple of months, because that's how you lose races. And we can't afford to lose this race. For state Supreme Court, we cannot afford to lose that. We can't afford to lose these local races either.
So I think let's, you know, we have a few minutes here mm-hmm. before we wrap up.
Yeah.
And let's just focus at the Supreme Court race.
Yes.
Because the, you know, I moved to Wisconsin in 1984, and I think this may be the biggest race for Supreme Court spot since I've moved here.
Consequential.
Yeah, you know, because I look around, and we see that our current makeup of the Supreme Court bought in to these gerrymandered maps.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just completely ratified this notion that you could have rigged elections.
Ironically, justice was not what they had in mind when they...
No, absolutely. Yeah. And what people forget is that there was a federal court that found the gerrymander in Wisconsin was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the U.S. Supreme Court said, we're just going to stay away from that. But what they said is then it's up to the state Supreme Courts. Mm-hmm. That whole idea of whether we can have little d democracy, fair maps, really is what one of the issues on the table.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
The other issue is we have a state constitution that is wide open to say that Roe can be the law.
Right.
Or that we can have reproductive rights.
Right.
That's an open question.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see those issues being strong enough to excite people in February?
Yeah, I do.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do we do? Right? What do we do to get young people out there?
I mean, I think my biggest takeaway from, well, this cycle and the last cycle is just that, and I talked about this last time I was here, just how we cannot understate the value of online organizing, you know, specifically using social media to target young people, because like we've realized from polling and, you know, general canvassing, you really aren't going to reach young people if you're going to send them a text or call them. They're not going to pick up. We established this, you know, we've established this a few times. But we found that you really can reach a lot of younger voters if you're putting things in a more digestible form to them. You know, we're not really going to sit down and watch news at night, but we are going to watch hours of TikTok, if I'm being fully honest. And
Lauren, has gotten hundreds of thousands of views on Blue Sky's TikTok.
Here we go.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We have 30 seconds.
Yes.
I am going to let Lauren close it out.
Oh, my.
Okay, because the future of my state depends on you and your generation.
No pressure.
Gen Z.
No pressure at all. No, I will say I'm very proud of everything that we did this election cycle, and I really think that this is something that we can continue on. I think we're becoming more aware of the future that we have and what we can do to change it. So,
folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We will be back next Monday night. Thanks for listening. This is WAUK 540 AM, The Shoff.